This podcast has been brought to you by
CAU Talk.
This is Lee.
And this is Kim.
And this is Park.
And I'm Choi.
Okay, so today I'm here, we're all here to introduce a book written by a Korean-American author.
Really?
Yeah. Her name is Anna. And she, yes, and she wrote a book called A Step from Heaven. And it's basically a story about a four-year-old girl, Youngju, moving to Southern California with her family as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she expected it to be this wonderful place where her family can be happy and start a new life. However, on the flip side, she goes through a cultural adjustment. And not only that, she goes through, like, identity, confusion, and some struggles mm-hmm. with her family as well. So I brought this book to kind of relate the life of an immigrant and holistically relate that to the life of the returnee. Because in some way, we can all call ourselves returnee because I also have once immigrated to America and now I moved back and I'm living in Korea. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So you mean today's topic, we're going to talk about like immigrants who has returned?
Yeah, I guess, because for us, it's, you know, we didn't stay in America for...
Yeah, we returned.
Yeah, we returned as a returnee.
But Choi...
Well, my situation is a little different. I'm still currently going to school in America, but I'm here for the summer, so I guess I can still relate to a certain extent.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
And as for me, I've been in Korea for, like, a longer period of time.
Okay. So, like in the book, actually this, can you hold this? I like this part of the book. I really related to this part. I'll read you some part. It says, "This time, Omma stops going through the pictures. These pictures," Omma says, waving her hand at the box, "are hard for me to look at." "What do you mean?" I ask. "They remind me too much of Hanguk, my family. They make me homesick." So, this part actually reminded me of how I felt when I was living in America and how I also felt coming back. Mm-hmm. Because in America, as a young child, though, I had some good memories going to school and making new friends. Mm-hmm. I always had that nostalgic feeling about my homeland, Korea. Mm-hmm. And I miss, like, my other part of the family, like my grandparents mm-hmm. and my cousins, because I used to always hang out with them.
Do they live in the States?
No, they were in Korea, so I missed them. I was very...
Oh, when you were in the...
Yeah, when I was in the States, I missed them a lot. So in that sense, when I looked at the picture, like, I would miss them a lot, and I would miss Korea. And I would always think about visiting or going back to Korea.
Yeah.
But once... The funny part is, once I came back to Korea, it was reciprocal, like, it was reversed, because I was looking at pictures that I took in America with my friends, and friends who also became kind of my other family, because, you know, since I didn't have my Korean families in America, American friends were like
my
family.
Understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a similar feeling, too, because I have a lot of pictures, like, taken when I was in the States, so I used to, like, you know, look at it with my other brothers and kind of think of, you know, the memory there. How's it with you, guys?
Well, for me, I left Korea after I finished fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I didn't really understand what was going on in that point. So it was easier for me to adjust to the American culture, I guess. And I don't think I really missed Korea, but now that I'm here for the summer,
mm-hmm.
I definitely miss some aspects of America, because I think there's a lot of benefits in America that are not here.
Really, like,
particularly in Korea?
Food?
I think just the environment and the culture here is a little different. Like, the people react
in
different ways.
Yeah, the culture has differences everywhere.
Yeah.
One particular thing that I saw the difference in was the small talks. Because when
small
you're...
Talks.
Yeah, small talks. Like, small talks, when you go shopping or when you just encounter people, you just
mm-hmm.
share a little conversation here.
In Korea
and there.
Or
in America?
Yeah, in America, yeah.
But there is no such thing as small talk in Korea.
Yeah, I think, like, I take the subway every day, and, like, while I'm there, you know, I feel like if it's in America, people would be like, hey, you know, like, small talks, like, oh, nice weather today, or something like that. But they all look really, like,
tired,
and it's really all mundane.
Like, poker face. Definitely. Because last summer, when I visited my friends back in America, I went shopping, and I went to a clothing store, and the manager there was like, oh, hey, how are you? How's it going? And at first, I was like, why is she asking me that? Because, you know, I already changed. Like, I got adjusted to the Korean system, you know. Korean people never really ask you, oh, how are you? Well, how's
it
going?
It's kind of personal.
We usually tend to, like, just talk to our friends only, you know. You don't really talk to strangers. But after a while, I really enjoy, you know, having that little talk, small talks here and there.
It's kind of friendly.
Yeah, it's a friendly environment. And yeah, there's definitely, like, intimacy in the Korean society and inside the Korean community. But if you're not fully engaged in that community or in that society, you tend to be left out from the conversation. Like, there's a barrier, and people won't really, like, easily just invite you in. So I think that's kind of a difference in the American society or the community compared to the Korean one here.
Even when I'm in America, I don't think I have, like, a preference of, oh, I like this place better than this place. I think both have, really do have their, like, pros and cons. When I'm in America, I kind of miss the, I think it's sometimes a negative point, but I think sometimes it's a good point. Like, there's like, a higher social hierarchy in Korea. And I think there's, like, a big respect system for elders. And I think it's a little absent in America, like, in school. I think it's something that benefit America. I think there's some things like that. Where both cultures can share from, like, take things from each other to make themselves better.
Because we have, like, the tendency to respect, you know, elders more. So, I wonder if Youngju, this girl, had those kind of thoughts.
Wait, did you say she went to America when she was 4 years old?
Yeah, when she was, like, a little baby.
So I guess she didn't have, like, a lot of memory to, you know, miss about Korea.
But it was probably definitely a lot different for her parents.
Most definitely.
Because, and I think it's really interesting that how the writer writes Korea, like, Hanguk, not Korea, and uses the 엄마 in Italian.
What's 엄마?
The mom. What?
엄마. Yeah, it's 엄마. It's just explained for listeners, you know.
Okay, so, yeah, the mother.
Yeah, it's romanization, so you just basically spell out how you pronounce in English. And I thought that part was interesting too, because, you know, because the thing is that the author is also Korean, and she herself also she was an immigrant, or her parents were immigrants, you know.
So
and when I was reading this book, at first I didn't really think about the returnee, but I thought about the life of the immigrants, because when I look at my parents and how they adjusted to the American community as a Korean immigrant, I was able to reflect upon how they reacted and how they kind of changed, you know, by adjusting. Like, so have you guys ever thought about your parents or, like, your family members? Because definitely different, like, when you're under that, when you're, like, young, you're under that protection of the adults, like your parents, and they can guide you. But adults, like parents, don't really have that guidance. They have to really do it themselves. So that can be kind of scary, you know?
I think there are certain experiences when I was in America where, like, if we were in a public place, like a restaurant or something, and if you were asking for something, and I was with my mom, like, the parent would usually take care of things, but a lot of times I would have to do a lot of the asking or the talking or the doing the small businesses, because I would, like, we would kind of switch positions, you know, because of the language barrier that my mom had. And I think it's definitely hard for parents because, like, you know, 30 or 40 years of their culture, and, like, it's not something easy to change. And, I definitely respect my parents for supporting me and, like, dealing with all the hardships there growing up there.
I can relate to that story because once I was in elementary school, and my mom and I, we were driving in our neighbor in America, and we got hit by a car, and it was actually a hit and run accident. And then the police came, and you know, my mom and I, we were both in shock, and I was still very young. Mm-hmm. But since my mom couldn't like say English that mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. like I had to talk to the police officer about what happened, and mm-hmm. you know, so.
And you, what age? How
old? I think I was in like fifth grade. Fifth grade, yeah. Mm. So I remember I was in a really big panic, but you know, my mom was very, she didn't care about her health. She asked me if I was okay, mm. you know, not in English, but she asked me if I was okay, and she was really worried about me. Mm-hmm. But, and also at the same time, I could see her frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, she wanted to explain more about yeah. what happened yeah. because it was a hit and run accident. Yeah. So it wasn't our fault. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to say it to the police officer, but she couldn't say, she couldn't speak English very well. And also she was in a very big panic. So, mm-hmm. so I remember that.
I also had the same experience when I was in China mm-hmm. because my parents couldn't speak Chinese very well. So I always had to, accompany them mm-hmm. and translate for them mm-hmm. and yeah, I think that also reminds me of my
that's kind of cool because you know when I went to the States I was like younger than Youngju. I was about 22 months old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like a little infant when I went there. So my mother my father and my mother mm-hmm. like I mean well my father did like a study in the grad school but mm-hmm. then my mother I guess she wasn't really that much like accustomed to speaking English but then you know she had this responsibility to you know yeah. she had mm-hmm. to put her kids into the school and the kindergartens and mm. she had to you know buy grocery and all so I guess she kind of pushed herself but then in a really young child's point of view like mm-hmm. my mom kind of looked great you know, mm. because I couldn't really, like, see how, like, she struggles in her languages because, you know, I didn't really, like, you know.
Yeah, she had to take really, charge.
And she had, you know, responsibility, yeah. you know, that's, like, what really comes from yeah. and makes things possible, so.
Yeah, it's really, I think, for immigrant, the parents of immigrant families, I think they're really respectable for mm. what they do and what yeah. they...
They do a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah. yeah. You know, just because they can't speak that language very well, that doesn't mean that they lack or they're deficient, you
yeah.
know? Mm-hmm. You know, they have such a greater, they have deeper cultural understanding and mm-hmm. they've been through a whole new world and they're actually stronger than any other parent. They're equally mm-hmm. stronger or even mm-hmm. Like even more, yeah. you know, great in that sense.
Yeah.
So
I think it's frustrating for parents because they think, sometimes it feels like, when I see my mom, I feel like when she talks to other people, like Americans, and Americans, like they're having they're trying to have a conversation, right? But I just sometimes feel like they kind of look down upon my mom, and it really frustrates mm-hmm. me because
mm-hmm.
it's just a language barrier. It doesn't
yeah.
like mean
yeah.
that she's like less of a person.
Yeah, she's. It doesn't mean
but,
that she's undereducated.
Yeah,
it's just the language.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But it was a really frustrating point for me. Like, mm-hmm. When I first went to America, one of the hardest things were like. I would think that people would, like, judge me before they actually, like, talk to me, right, because
mm-hmm.
of my appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was definitely one of the harder things for me because of the, because of the different view they would have on you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're Asian, like,
mm-hmm.
you're, like, different, I don't know, even
yeah.
if I lived
yeah.
in America for a long time.
Sure, sure, there's always gonna be that stereotype and
mm-hmm.
there's always gonna be that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But but at the end, I feel like it really depends on you, like, ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Who have immigrant parents, you know, it's
yeah.
important to have pride for what they do and what
yeah.
what they have done for us because
yeah.
it's been like much tougher for them to
yeah.
adjust
mm-hmm.
as adults because you know they needed more guidance but they didn't have that, you know, because they were already adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about you know we first talked about you know how our parents like immigrants, what they have. What they gone through. So let's now talk about how they kind of influenced us as a returnee or, you know, as a present. Because for us, when I came back to Korea, it was really different. My parents were very different and
mm-hmm.
I was very different because my parents were in full control when they
yeah.
got to Korea.
they're their place.
Yeah, they were the boss now.
Yeah.
So So I just had to follow what they do. You know, they knew what they were doing. So it was like a complete change, you know. Whoa, like, so. But it felt different, but at the time I felt secure as well. Like, oh, this is how normal children have felt growing up. So have you felt like that for like coming? Like,
do you have any?
No. Well, my parents were always in charge of me, so I really didn't feel different when I changed to different situation, environment. It really wasn't that influential for me, I think.
I think my dad feels a lot more in control when he's in Korea. Because I think he thinks he can do a lot more things for me. And he has a lot more control over things in general when he is in Korea rather than America. And the same for my mom. If she, like, even if we would just go to Korean restaurants, like, it all changes. Like, if you're like ordering something, like if you're gonna go to an American restaurant, like, you might, like, my mom could like stutter and like she might have like hesitance, and like if something doesn't like make sense to her, she might not ask. She might not ask, and she might just like, you know,
keep quiet.
Like, keep quiet.
Yeah.
But if you go to a Korean restaurant, you know, you just point everything out.
Yeah. She does everything for you now. So, True.
Me?
Yeah.
But she was just a baby, so.
Well, when I came back, I wasn't really just a baby. I was in second grade, elementary school. I was still young, but then. Well, my mother always had this thought in her mind that, you know, she wanted to live with her family, you know. And so when my parents decided to come back to Korea, I actually didn't want to like leave, you know, the America, because, you know, I had friends there. I had my own kind of community, you know, formed.
Yeah, if you're 22 months old, like when you left.
Yeah, so I had all my childhood like spent there, so I didn't really had a thought, you know, to come back, because, you know, but then my parents like said, no, we're gonna go back and you're gonna follow us. We're family, right?
Yeah.
So like, so I was like, oh well, okay. And so I went to Korea, and so I guess my family, well, my parents, my mother especially, her, she kind of feels, you know, comfortable in living her own country. Because, you know, she's much more familiar with all the cultures, and Korea is the place where she's been grown, you know,
So I have kind of a question. Do you think all these, like, kind of turbulence, maybe, of going back and forth in countries, maybe, or having the language barrier, or having your parents struggle, do you think it is, like, essential or beneficial to who we are today? Or would you guys rather have had a childhood where you lived in one country with your, like, normal childhood, like a typical normal childhood?
Well,
because
I appreciate that, like, living back and forth many countries, but I sometimes feel sad about not being able to live for a longer period. And that sometimes makes me really frustrated, but still I think having been to other countries and meeting other people was really a great part.
Yeah, I understand. It kind of enriches, you know, what you have, you know, your life and what you share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So today we basically talked about a book, and we centered around our conversation on this story. So I hope if you guys have the time, then definitely check out the book A Step from Heaven, and next time we will continue our conversation from here. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.